If you're having trouble sleeping, Celestica is the all-natural nighttime sleep aid that helps more people get the rest they need. If you're taking other medication, see your doctor before using Celestica. Celestica should not be taken with alcohol. Women who are pregnant, have been pregnant, expect to be pregnant, or know someone who is pregnant should not handle Celestica. Celestica is not recommended for children under the age of 81, senior citizens, or farm animals. Side effects may include dizziness, vomiting, or a desire to watch science fiction movies. You may start singing random Star Trek themes and think you are a better singer than you actually are. Celestica is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Unlike other sleep aids, drowsiness is not a side effect of Celestica. Celestica will combust instantly in an environment containing oxygen. Ask your doctor if Celestica is right for you. From the Pharmacy of Technorama.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a bus that'll take me to the casino. To quote Google, I'm feeling lucky.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for August 29, 2007. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Oh, is that my cue? Were you looking at the show notes to make sure?
Gotta make sure. Sometimes, well, once you weren't there, so now I'm never really sure.
Only once. Once in almost 2.5 years. Come on, man.
If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. We have a ton of stuff in tonight's show, and it's going to be another... what's the strange word I'm looking for?
Fantasterific?
That'll work. Add that to the Craigtionary.
For real.
We got one. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got things like Steve Wozniak gets pulled over. I don't make that one up.
No.
Will Wheaton is indicted. I'm not making that up either. And...
is this a theme night?
Check out the dorm room hacks before heading back to school. All that and more coming up right after this.
Yeah. Don't blink.
On this day in tech history for August 29, 2007. This is August 29th. It's the 241st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 124 days remaining in 2007. It was on this date in the year 708 copper coins are minted in Japan for the first time. Also on August 29th, 1831, Michael Faraday discovers electromagnetic induction. The Mount Washington Cog Railway opens on August 29th, 1869, making it the world's first rack railway. Gottlieb Daimler patents the world's first motorcycle on this date in 1885. And the Goodyear Tire Company is founded on this date in 1898. The Soviet Union tests its first atomic bomb known as First Lightning, or Joe-1, in Kazakhstan on August 29, 1949. Also on this date in 1962, the lower deck of the George Washington Bridge opens in New York City and New Jersey. This is also the date in which the first flight of the McDonnell Douglas DC-10 jet airliner, a competitor to the Boeing 747, takes place. And it was also on this date in 1982 that the synthetic chemical element meitnerium, the atomic number 109, is first synthesized in Germany. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1756 to Polish mathematician Jan Sniadecki. And English film director and narrator Richard Attenborough turns 84 today.
Hello and welcome
to another in our series, Life on Technorama.
And finally, John Heuser turns 65 today. John is an electron microscopist for the Washington University in St. Louis. And that's the way it was on this date in tech history for August 29, 2007.
Technorama, what geeks listen to when Battlestar Galactica isn't on.
Soon. Soon, my son, soon.
I know, we just did that Richard Attenborough bit, but couldn't resist.
Oh yeah, of course. We've got to use it again sometime.
Hey, wanted to let everybody know, the naked archaeologist gear has arrived on my doorstep. And this is nice stuff.
Is it really?
It's a shame nobody's entered. We'll have to keep it for ourselves.
How many people we got entered?
There's a bunch of them. Keep entering. Okay. You've got until midnight, August 31st, 2007, which is just a little bit after the show comes out. And then, contest is closed. We've got five nice, and I mean nice, backpacks or rucksacks, if you call them that.
Hey, you should take a picture of it and put it on Flickr.
I should. We've also got shirts and hats to go with that. Each prize pack, five prize packs, five of them are going to be hat, shirt, backpack. And, cool. You know, these are like $75 backpacks. Nice padded straps and everything.
Wow.
I want
one.
Yeah. Mm.
Can I enter?
Like I said, three prize packs to give away. None of them said for Chuck and Craig, unfortunately.
Man.
We will be out next week, so we won't be able to announce the winners right away. Both of us have family commitments due to the U.S. Labor Day holiday weekend.
But.
So we will be. Yeah.
But. Everybody's got a big butt.
Tell them.
But we got a special long overdue editing on my part.
Slightly overdue, we say.
Well, I put it on my calendar, and I put a 7 instead of a 6. So this is audio from last year, not this. I'm sorry. I can't make that up. Anyway, I'll let you talk about it.
We have audio from the Discovery World audio tour that I did with Chuck Aumann last October. Most of it's still pretty timely, but there is a couple of faux pas in there. Speaking of Richard Attenborough, I said David Attenborough in the audio. You'll probably catch that. Go, no, that's not David. It's Richard. Richard. And there's one point where I tell some poor soul that he'll be on Technorama soon. Well, my excuse to whoever that poor kid is hanging on every word of ours that, yes, you finally get in the show.
Hopefully he's still a listener.
Finally, you're 30 seconds of fame. So we will have that up. Look forward to that. It is a little longer. It's like an hour and a half, but think about it. You've got no voicemail show, no regular Technorama. Just fill that into the regular slot.
Well, you know, I'm cheap labor, man.
Okay. My threat to outsource this to India didn't make any impact?
Now see, Chuck, look at it this way. you know, due to what I'm getting paid, I was staging a work slowdown.
Well, it's going to be an interesting podcast,
really.
Expo. Half of my crew won't be speaking English.
So I was counting on it, but it didn't pan out.
All right. Also wanted to announce that we've got some link love over on discovery.com.
Yes, we do.
Yes. The Discovery Channel website. I got pinged earlier this week or late last week, whatever it was, in time, space, pod, continuum, if you figure it out. For the Mythbusters wiki, and you can find this at mythbusters-wiki.discovery.com, and under the, what is it, the Friends of Mythbusters or other resources?
Fan resources,
that's what it is. They've got links to our Grant Imahara and Adam Savage interviews, which that was really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And then in return, we put a link to the Mythbusters wiki on our site, too, because that was cool.
Of course we would. Why wouldn't we? So, you know? Links are cheap.
Links are, especially ours. Not like they're burning up precious advertising space or anything.
Right.
Want to give a shout-out to the chat room at this point. Captain Rootbeer, Debdrup, NCAV1, Enigma VB, Sounds more like a programming language to me, but we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Lord Cat, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Mike King, Missing Intellect, Mr. Gadgets. I always get the tongue twisters, man. It's like five M's in a row.
I just like saying again. You work over them.
It is. It's just fun. Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Mike King, Missing Intellect, Mr. Gadgets, Nightstar, Stephen Sumter,
yay.
Tim Elliott, Tom from California, Douglas E. Welch, and give me the final one.
Zadoom.
You are doomed.
Boom.
Cat Baloo. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you, listener, are welcome to join us on Sunday night around 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You, dear you listener. Join us.
You are fine, listener. Yeah. You can join us in the chat room at irc.freenode.net. Channel name is Pound Technorama. You can also join us on the
Octothorpe Technorama, Chuck.
Octothorpe, because it sounds more technical. But
yes,
it's
and a villain.
Three syllables instead of one.
It sounds more villainous. Here you go.
Villainous. Sounds more DC comic.
Yeah. I am Octothorpe.
Great. See your doctor. He'll give you something for that.
Yeah. The Zit Cream will clear that out.
And the webcam. Don't forget about that. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. Right. Back. No, we're going to go right into the news. What am I talking about? Breaks.
Is planned to reinvigorate 5,000-year-old chewing gum. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip Quirity reporting. Last month, student Sarah Picken found a piece of Neolithic chewing gum on an archaeological dig in Oulu, Finland. The gum, a huge hunk of birch bark, was likely chewed 5 or 6,000 years ago and, oddly enough, was found stuck to the underside of a stone table. Scientists, intrigued by the find, planned a whole host of tests on the ABC gum, including carbon dating, DNA extraction, and resuscitation. Dr. Ivana Tekel explains.
Yes, yes, this is of course something you just don't find every day. It appears that it's composed of birch bark and intended as a tool for fixing things rather than just for enjoyment. My colleagues and I have a pool going, actually to see what it tastes like.
Whether or not the gum prevented tooth decay is still up for debate, as the teeth of the owner have not been found. Chip Quirity, Technorama News.
Bad news, everyone.
And we do have some bad news.
No. What's that?
We have bad news that Will Wheaton has been indicted for role in Robot Fighting Ring. This from Brian Briggs at bbspot.com.
Hey, not to be confused with the story of Michael Vick and his dogfighting.
Actor and internet personality Will Wheaton has been indicted by federal prosecutors on charges of promoting and hosting a robot fighting ring. Prosecutors allege Wheaton kicked and electrocuted robots that weren't performing well, as many as 15 robots. He just blew their circuits, said U.S. Attorney Bob Shrumpkin. The news shocked fans of Wheaton's, many of whom are robot owners themselves. Christy Cho of Simi Valley said, I have an Aibo and a Poochie, and I love them. I can't believe the cruelty. I'll be putting my DVD of Stand By Me on eBay. Wheaton contends that nobody gets hurt in robot fighting and that people are just don't understand. It's deeply ingrained in the geek culture. We see nothing wrong with it, said Wheaton. We get together, drink a few Red Bulls, and watch robots fight it out. I don't see what the big deal is. Violet Tamagotchi, president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Robots, or PETER, picketed outside...
I don't know where they're coming in here.
picketed outside Wheaton's home. She doesn't buy the part of the culture argument. Asimov said robots can't hurt us, so why does Wheaton hurt robots? I think Will embraced technology, not just... I thought Will embraced technology, not destroyed it, she said. The story goes on, and you can read more at bbspot.com. This is great stuff.
Man... It's so sad.
Yeah. And there's a caption of him that says, was his affection for Data just an act?
Okay, moving right along.
Moving right along.
Hey, I checked out the Google Earth with space.
You did what?
Have you seen the new Google Earth?
Is that like Google Moon?
Yeah. Yeah. something
this
like
is Google
that.
Space. It's just all black.
No, if you go, okay, you go search for your hometown in Google. All right, this is the new beta version they've got out. And
beta from Google? Imagine that.
Gee. Anyway, you go to your hometown or wherever you'd like, I guess, and you click the little sky button above the view area, and you're instantly seeing the sky as it is in your from your vantage point. You see all the constellations. You can turn on different layers, you know, much like you can with streets and cities and whatnot. You turn on the stars, I mean, not stars, but the constellations. You can see them. You see galaxies, and you can zoom in and look at pictures from the Hubble, which is kind
of... Where was this last night when I was out camping and saw stars?
Probably with the rest of technology at your house.
You know, Orion is now rising in the east. In the morning.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That means winter's coming, at least in the northern hemisphere.
Yes, and I'm very waiting for it. I can't stand... I'm taking it back. I wish my summer's away. How about that? I look for fall.
You live in the south. Deal with it.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm okay with spring, but as soon as it starts getting hot and... You know, a little humid. I wish my summer's away so much. I'm sure I'll regret it someday, but fall and winter, man. Shut up. Anyway, Google Earth with space is cool. I enjoyed it. And Harrison, I hadn't really shown it to him yet. I guess I should.
And on the topic of space, meteors.
Yep, this is another meteor shower alert. A bunch of 2,000-year-old meteors are going to rain down on August 31st, 2007. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I know I talked about this one in our voicemail show. I want to make sure people were ready. But there's another one I'm not going to be able to see. Maybe it's the meteor shower. Yeah, that's right. The meteor shower, I'm not going to be able to see. The eclipse, I will. Anyway, the meteors that are about to rain down on early morning of September 1st, around 4 A.D.,
What?
Oh, from around... What? I'm confusing myself.
The meteors that are about to rain down in the early morning of September 1st date from around 4 AD, the last calculation show.
I forgot the operative word date. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. You take it.
Apparently, this is the oldest known shower that we've got, because this is an early recorded comet coming by. The oldest such shower, but only one revolution old. Wow. It's due in the early morning of September 1st, 2007. Our calculations indicate Earth is about to cross the dust trail of Comet Kies, or Kies. Pardon me if I don't pronounce that wrong. There's nothing here to help me. A comet that takes some 2,000 years to complete one orbit around the sun. Shouldn't it have been back by now?
You'd think.
In year 4 AD?
Okay, well, anyway.
Look out!
Anyway, it's coming, so.
Trail is very narrow. It'll be coming from the much like the Perseids, look like they're emanating from the constellation of Perseus. These will be coming from the constellation of Auriga, the charioteer.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the interesting part. This is the part I was talking about, if you can view it or not. The shower is visible from only part of the world. If you live in the western parts of the U.S., Canada and Mexico, including Hawaii, Marv, and Alaska, you might spot the Aurigid meteor. See, we're awesome at talking about this stuff. I'm surprised JPL hadn't picked us up. But anyway, but you can see it about 4 a.m. Pacific time. Early
All right,
morning. So there you go.
Last great news story we've got: Steve Wozniak. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak knows how to get his name in the news. First, there was the rumor of his extraordinarily creepy romance with unfunny lady Kathy Griffin.
Oddly enough, the creepy romance was funny in itself.
And now we find out that he got busted for going 104 miles per hour in a Prius. The best part? What he told the judge. I pleaded guilty with an explanation. I said that it was really scientific and that last year had been in Athens, Moscow, Berlin, Frankfurt, Munich twice, and Zurich, Canada three times, Colombia, Singapore, Japan, London, and had gotten used to a kilometer speed. So he thought he was going 104 kilometers an hour, which is roughly, what, 60 miles an hour?
And the judge was quoted as saying, right.
Nobody likes a braggart, Woz. I know you spend more than your dorky watches. More on your dorky watches than you will be paying back the $700 ticket. But let that be a lesson to you.
Crime doesn't pay.
Oh, we're going to need to have a follow-up interview with that guy.
I'm sure he's just handing them out like candy at the bank now.
All right, last thing in our news segment. Take us in.
Oh, yeah, this thing. Actually, I think I stuck this in the wrong area, but that's okay. Go look at the Boing Boing. This is a... So, speaking of our steampunk stuff we've been throwing out here every once in a while, which I think some of this stuff's really cool. You know, it's very inventive to wrap this old style, this, you know, around new technologies. But this is actually, this steampunk maker is actually made a monocle holder, which is kind of interesting, and it's kind of big. It's even got a, it's even got a little steam pressure valve on there. Meter.
We seem to be getting a lot of this kind of stuff lately.
Man, it is big. It's steampunk stuff's all over the place, you know?
It looks like a cross between Wild Wild West and the Borg.
That's, yeah.
That's all I can say.
That's what the Borg would look like in the old West.
What was his name? What would it look like if Lovelace invented a Borg implant? That's about what it would look like. Gauges and dials and cranks and things all over the place.
Yeah. I'm Lovelace a Borg.
In his scantily clad Borgats, right?
Yeah.
Just settle down. All right, we'll be back right after this break.
Okay.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
Be a part of the Friends in Tech community. Visit the FIT forums at forums.zintech.com.
All right, checking out the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got, sir?
A do-it-yourself Segway. Those little punk kids. Nah, some high school kids had made a do-it-yourself Segway. You're familiar with the Segway scooter thing, right?
Yes.
Are we still going with the music?
No.
There we go.
Keep going. I'm under control.
Anyway, the do-it-yourself Segway, it looks like a modified golf caddy, so they say in the title of the thing here. But so this is what you get from a bunch of students, some of them high schoolers, four of them from MIT. Get together and they make their own version of the Segway. It may look like one of those golf caddies on wheels, but it works and it's cheap.
How cheap?
And there's a video on it.
How cheap?
Sub-thousand, which the Segways are $4,000, $5,000.
Okay, well, it's cheaper.
Yeah, well, cheaper. Well, I mean, they made it, which is cool. Anyway, you go look at it. The wheels are much smaller, and if you watch the video, you can actually see it's not quite as responsive the Segway, but I bet if they tweak it out some, I bet it would respond better.
Okay.
So it looks pretty neat. I want one. I want to ride a Segway. Have you ever ridden one?
No. They had them in the resort
Mountains?
In Phoenix
Camping?
Where I was. And I wanted ask them for a ride, or at least, you know, hop on there and do a segment from them. Hey, I'm podcasting from a Segway.
Immediately crash.
You're supposed to, yeah, you'd have to use the lapel mic, I guess, for that.
Yeah.
All right, the other link we have in the Hacks and Strange Stories is a laser toaster printer, or is it a laser printer toaster?
Yes.
This looks similar to what I'll bet Charles did for our Technorama cookies. I got to bring you yours when we get to the expo. I got to remember to pack those.
Are they still good? Oh, you had them in the freezer, didn't you?
Our little ginger snaps. Yeah, they're in the freezer. They're okay.
Well, anyway.
But this apparently will take artwork and, like, etch into toast. The guy did like a shaded rendering of his face, so you put the toast on the counter and it looks like almost like a shaded photo.
It does look cool. Now if they print the blue screen of death on there, well, they put it on everything else, from t-shirts to tattoos, why not toast? Now this next one is I found in Gizmodo also. It's a giant paper boat made from it's like some kind of paper. Anyway, artist Frank Buelter has constructed a 9-meter paper boat from stuff he used to make that thing, I can't say, packs, and is sailing it from the Elbe. His 37-year-old artist came up with the idea at breakfast time while he was sitting at his kitchen table, good, fiddling with an empty milk carton, not good, and when he caught up, or when he cut it up and made a scaled-down model, he could see how he could build it, after, and then you can come and say, look at the pictures, and it looks like your typical paper boat that you used to make out of, like, a newspaper, you know, the centerpiece and the thing. Anyway, you can go check it out, and it's huge, and he's going in it and sailing in it. It's pretty cool.
All right.
We should make one. Yeah. We should make one. We should make one and set it in sail when we go to San Francisco in the bay. Bingo. We'll break in. Nobody's broken into Alcatraz.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, see, just think, man. We could set, I don't know, some kind of legend in motion. The guys that broke into Alcatraz.
No.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Okay, well, truth be told, I'm not really angry, but I do want to talk about this.
Great.
I watched,
You're not angry, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, you know, I saw this ad on Sci-Fi Channel the other day, and I was, it got me curious. You remember Who Wants to Be a Superhero, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch the last one?
No.
Okay. The last one, the winner was Feedback, you know, and he gets sucked into video games or something like that. Anyway, they were supposed to make a movie using him on the Sci-Fi Channel as part of the winnings of the show.
Okay.
Well, I was watching an ad and I went, oh, well, there he is in the movie. So I set it to record. It's called Mega Snake. I don't know how many other people saw this on Sci-Fi Channel, but I watched the whole thing. Me actually got my wife to watch it, which is, you know, kind of fun.
I saw the ad.
Yeah.
It didn't look compelling enough to make me watch anymore.
Well, I wanted to watch it. I thought it was going to be the movie he was. He's in it, but I thought, I didn't realize it wasn't the one that, it's not his movie. Okay. So at the end, he's got like, he's on it for like 5 minutes, but I was going to watch, see his part, you know, and just not watch the whole thing. But I ended up watching the whole thing before, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm waiting for Feedback. And there he was at the end.
Oh, jeez.
And you know what? It was actually, it wasn't too bad. It's a B movie. Okay. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the Sci-Fi Channel. It just happened to be on at the right time for me to be in the right mood to watch it. And, you know, so I enjoyed it, but me and Kim were kind of picking it apart as we went along. It was kind of funny. So I don't know if I can recommend this, but if you're in the mood for a B-movie, which Sci-Fi Channel does come out with a lot of, you know,
yep,
and you just got to be in the right mood for those things, but it's kind of funny to watch. Anyway, Feedback did his thing at the end.
All right.
Just kind of funny.
Media Corner?
Okay, let's go to the media corner.
Media corner.
Follow me. This
media
way.
Media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
First thing we have is one of Craig's favorites. Go. No, it's not. Spider-Man.
Or superhero related. Well, that's kind of superhero, isn't it? Anyway, Michael Bay, the director of all things like
Transformers.
I'm sorry, my mind went blank. Whoa. Okay, Transformers. Anyway, he was speaking out the other day about Paramount and DreamWorks were stopping their Blu-ray production, that they were going to go HD DVD only. So he, in a rant on a site, started flipping out. He said, well, you know what? I don't like that. I want people to be able to watch it in all the formats available. You know, the stuff I make, so no Transformers 2 for me. I was like, whoa. And of course, he immediately put on the brakes and did a 180. Now, I know a lot of people have probably heard that story now. And he reversed that and said, you know what? I spoke a bit hastily. I was like, I bet. But once the studio execs
and probably
got a hold
said,
of that,
how would you like sure $80 billion more?
Yeah. Or the $80 billion you're going to get anyway. Anyway, so he reversed that decision to not skimp out on that. But I think it is kind of crap. You know, maybe I should put this under my what the Craig. It's kind of messed up. These studios pick one format or the other because, you know, I'm not buying an HD DVD. I'm not buying a Blu-ray until either I get a hybrid or there's a defined standard. You know, I'm not going to have two players sitting there under my TV. That's just stupid. Right. I mean, would you do that?
No. That's why I haven't bought one yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, it's like one day you hear, oh, the Blu-ray is
yeah, we're really hooking up in sales, and Blockbuster says this, that, and other. And then next day, hey, HD's selling really well over here in Europe. And when I'm like, what am I supposed to buy? What would I read?
Yep. So-and-so just endorsed one over the other.
It won't happen. You got Microsoft involved, and, you know, saying one's better than the other, and Sony, and it's VHS and Beta all over again.
Did you just say Microsoft?
I'm sorry. I saw them at Home Depot. Microsoft.
So, interesting.
Anyway, anybody who's got any feedback on what are these, which format's winning or what their thoughts are, please share them.
Please do.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, season two of the IT Crowd started. Did you watch? You watched those, didn't you?
And I haven't seen season one yet, so we're moving along.
I'll have to beam up to you. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay. And.
And finally.
And The World Enough and Time, which is the new Voyages episode with starring George Takei. It showed, I think they, didn't they premiered it this last week. They were going to stream it online, and I was there to try and watch it, but looks like the stream.
That's the fan film, right?
The what? I'm sorry?
The fan film?
Yeah, the fan film that Paramount, you know, they allow to produce, but they can't make any money on it.
Yeah.
But Sulu comes back to, I guess, give his character a finishing point, or, you know, some details on what happens to Sulu. Anyway, they tried to premiere it, and we're going to stream the whole thing online. The stream just flash and burn, or flash and burn?
Flash and burn? Another Craigism.
It died on us. So I didn't get to see it, but apparently this coming weekend, they're going to post video of the whole event, and you can watch it. I think pretty soon, I think sometime in September, the actual episode becomes available for download, which at newvoyages.com, you can download their past episodes, and this one's number 4. And I'm like the last ones. I wouldn't say they're... It's probably as close to having a television budget as you're going to get.
Sure.
Know? And they got some really good big names writing and doing special effects at the same time. So, and these are people that worked on Star Trek in the past, so which is really, really cool.
Great.
So, can't recommend it enough. Right.
We got to keep moving along, so we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with the Geek Library, and then round out the show.
When there isn't enough B5 in your life, turn to the geeks. There's no beating
deep geeking.
When you're stuck at work and need some sci-fi, turn to the geeks. There's no beating
deep geeking.
The Babylon Podcast.
Deep geeking.
Intense discussions and debates exposing every detail you ever thought about. For Centaurn, Minbari, and Vorlons, turn to the geeks. www.babylonpodcast.com. There's no beating
deep geeking.
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right, in the Geek Library, we've got from Tom in California, a knowledge base article over on Microsoft that helps you do an XP auto login. I thought that was pretty interesting. And at first I go, why in God's name would you want to automatically log into XP? Sounds like a security problem. He said, well, if you've got a PVR built on GBPVR, which I assume is a personal video recorder software thing for XP, then if you have a power outage, this will automatically bring it up, bring it back to life, and get you logged in.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Okay, I like this next one.
Oh, do you?
You have to describe this. This is a piece of artwork. Didn't you put this in here?
I did. This is a piece of artwork over at DeviantArt, and you can download this and use it as a wallpaper if you really want to, but everybody's familiar with George Washington crossing the Delaware. He's, you know, got his leg propped up like the Captain Morgan.
Now that you mention it.
But this is actually Klingons crossing the Delaware, which is kind of fun. And it looks just like it. It's got the flags, the guy's holding the flag behind the George Washington looking character, but he's Klingon. And they got the Batleth and the whole thing. It's pretty cool. So,
a keg of blood wine. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, even got the disruptor pistol there.
So what are they rowing across the Delaware? Why did they beam just to the other side?
Well, I don't know. Didn't have transporters back then. But we had Klingons.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, hey, oh, I've already mentioned this once before. But they've got these meteors. They're like really old and they're coming to the Earth.
Watch out.
That's August 31st to check out. Yeah, okay. So watch, you know, heads up.
Finally, we have a note that the Parsec Awards are this weekend at Dragon Con in Atlanta. We are up for best, get this, best reality.
No.
Okay.
Geek reality.
And best tech podcast. Not sure what the reality thing is all about.
You got it right here. I got your AI right here, buddy.
Okay. This is artificial reality, artificial intelligence. It's all here.
Yes.
Best of luck to everybody who's participating in all of that. We do appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your support. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Or send us email at technorama@chuckchat.com. You can also Skype in your answer if you happen to be not near a phone, or you live near computers, or you live outside the U.S. and it's just so darn expensive to call those U.S. numbers. Put Chuck Chat in your Skype buddy list, and you will get a hold of us. There's also the website at www. You know, you shouldn't even have to say
I don't.
That.
Who does? Who does?
Chuckchat.com for the webcam, mail list, and show notes and all that. I just said it because it's in the show notes. We're going to have to change the template.
Well, apparently you answered my question.
Blah. You can also love us tremendously, and we will love you in return with a donation in the tip jar. There's the one time or the...
It's like a Technorama love fest, man.
Yeah, we love it. How about an iTunes music store review or Podcast Pickle or Podcast Alley or one of those dozens of other directories that happens to be around there? You share your comments and that increases visibility to us, which in turn gets more listeners, which in turn gets more comments and feedback.
It's a vicious cycle.
It is. It's like fungus.
Yeah. There's a fungus among us.
Thanks to a lot of the people who help donate their time and talent to keep Technorama going, even when we're not on the microphones.
Mm-hmm.
There's people like Mad Marv, who give all the great blog content during the week, and Ustream, who keeps our webcam and stream running, except when we have minor technical difficulties halfway through the show that Craig cleverly edits out, so nobody knows the better.
Shh.
And the chat room provided by freenode.net, if you happen to be around. You can go to the webcam page, chuckchat.com/webcam, find out all the information.
Oh, hey,
there.
By the way.
This show
wanna,
is, yeah.
Speaking of editing, by the way, yeah. On my website, I posted a video recorded through Ustream of me editing Technorama, if you care to watch. It's kind of boring. Yeah, it's a little long. Just me see the desktop. That's about
Move
it.
Move this, cut that out.
But yep. It's kind of neat if you want to see it. You can hear the audio as I'm editing.
Cool. Check it out. Ustream. Look for Craig's channel.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
And also look at it on the webcam. Yep. You can also look at our webcam page. It'll link you automatically there. Alrighty. That takes us to the end of the show. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way and you want to get it free automatically, consider subscribing. We can tell you how. Just send us an email at technorama@chuckchat.com. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
And as always, a binary high five.
101. Oh, it cost him about $217. Took him about 2 hours to construct. We should make one.